Hi, and welcome to another edition of Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman. I'm a product manager here at Microsoft working on the Windows Phone team. I'm joined today by Taki Joffrey, program manager in the DevPlat team.
Yeah. Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me here.
You bet, Taki. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
So, as you said, I'm a program manager on the developer platform team. I've actually been with Windows Phone for a few years now, and I've done the contacts APIs, the calendar APIs. And nowadays, I just do a little bit of developer evangelism, work on the Windows Phone developer blog, and now on Channel 9.
Well, you might be seeing a lot. We might be seeing a lot more from you. So yeah, I thought
hope so.
You know, we had just 2 weeks ago now at the Build event where we announced Windows Phone 8 and unveiled the Windows Phone 8 SDK. We're really excited about this. And I realized that, you know, we've done a number of videos talking about some of the features in depth. And we also had a video with Peter Tor where we talked a little bit about the architectural decision-making that went into Windows Phone 8 and how it related to Windows 8 on the desktop. But I realized we didn't have a video where we just talked about Windows Phone 8 itself, a little bit at the top level, what it is, how it works, what's new in Windows Phone 8, and what it means for developers, too, because you know, these things are interrelated.
Yeah.
As a developer, you know, many of the best end-user features are ones that are fueled by developers. And so we wanted to spend a little time, we thought we'd spend a little time today talking about, at a high level, what Windows Phone 8 is and what the new features are, and then how you as a developer can take advantage of those features.
Absolutely. There's a lot of good stuff in there.
And we'll link in the notes on this page to a lot of the more information that we've got out there, because we do have about 20,000 pages of online documentation. It can be hard to find different things, but we'll point out the top-level areas for each of the things we talk about today.
Absolutely.
So we've got a phone here. This is a Nokia Lumia 820. This is a developer seating device, but we've got an image on here that I can show you. So we're going to actually do a little walkthrough here of a couple of the new features. One of the things you'll notice right away is the different tile sizes. And you know, we think that this is actually an awesome way for end users to customize their phone, make it much more like them. You may see that in a lot of the advertising. But it's really neat because you can the user can then change the size of these default tiles. And you'll see there I can change the people tile to be full screen. And they'll start coming in. And it's still live. It still does all of the neat things that it does. And you can even stagger and shape your home screen however you like. But what this means for you as a developer is that you've got new tile sizes that you can take advantage of for all of your tiles, for your main tile of your application, and also your secondary tiles. You can take advantage of these new tiles. And you'll see here's an application that does that, this battery app, leveraging one of the new APIs to show you battery information. You can see there it's charging the battery. Or you can actually shrink it down if you don't need that to be.
Yeah, and this is actually an example of a tile which just, you know, gets bigger, but the information on it remains the same.
Well, actually, look at this though. It's showing charging battery there.
Yeah.
So it does add more information from
cool, but
the tiny one.
If you could take your messaging tile perhaps, or one of the email tiles, that's actually a good example of a tile that shows a lot of different information. It actually shows you a little bit of a preview
of
what's
email.
Going on. So especially for texting, I find that, you know, having a large texting tile for me often saves me from having to launch the messaging app because you can just glance and go.
That's great. I love that feature. But another thing that this battery application takes advantage of is new lock screen notifications.
Oh, cool.
So I can actually create, there's two new features that appear on the lock screen. There is the ability to become a wallpaper provider, and that means that you can actually publish out wallpaper to the lock screen that a user consumes. The user has to set it in their settings, but we give you an API to let you launch the settings so you can actually engage with the user to prompt them that this feature is available and let them get in that. The new Facebook app does that. We also have custom notifications on the lock screen. So this is really cool, and the battery takes advantage of that. I can show you that by just turning my phone off really quickly and going to my start screen. You'll notice here in the lower right it's showing battery as a notification. And I can set the main block there too. So the large notification, I can't remember exactly what we call that. But if you go into settings, you'll see this under lock screen, under notifications, choose an app to show detailed status. And you'll see there a number of different apps.
And calendar is the default. That's just like, you know, the old Windows Phone 7.
Right.
But now apps
exactly.
can actually override that little piece of text that appears at the bottom.
Right. So if I chose Facebook, and then I go back to my home screen, and this may or may not work, it's showing me what's on your mind.
That's just their default, right?
Prompting me to go...
I think that's what they show if you don't have any like fresh notifications to show.
Right.
That's just their filler.
So these are great new features that you can use to integrate with the operating system, and they really add value to the phone itself. If you don't build apps that leverage these things, and users don't get the ability to take advantage of them.
And it's also a discoverability thing, I think. I
mean, oh, yeah.
If your app is kind of hidden away in the app list, people might not come back to it and use it more and more once they're done playing with it the first day. But if you actually integrate with the OS in these interesting ways, then people might stay engaged for longer. I think they will stay engaged for longer.
Well, we've always in Windows Phone, it's a philosophical point for Windows Phone, that we give developers more compelling ways to integrate with the operating system experiences, the main experiences. So all the way from the very beginning, we let you create an app that plugged into the music and video hub, for example. And if you had metadata around music and video items that were played in your app, you could actually populate the hub itself with the history of those items, for example. Now in Windows Phone 8, we've extended this even further with items like lenses. Now this is a really great one because here we've got the camera viewfinder, and you'll see this lower left button here now. This is the lens button. It allows you to actually extend the native viewfinder in the camera itself. So if you've got an application that leverages the viewfinder, you can just launch it, and I'm launching this app Face Lens. And you'll see there now it's doing Chuck Norris. But if I say Afro, and then I can get an Afro.
See, kind of looks like my Halloween costume.
That's right. So this is how you can leverage these new features that extend the phone itself. A couple other features we'll talk about real quick, and then we'll start talking about APIs. But we want to mention Kids Zone. And so Kids Zone is a new feature, a Kids Corner. Kids Corner. Kids Corner is a new feature that allows you to customize your phone to make it safe for your kid. You can actually restrict what your kid can do on the phone. And you can create sort of a locked-off area where they can only play certain games or certain music or videos. And so you'll see how this works here. If I go here and set it up, it'll say, you know, I have no games on this phone, but I could say add music or add videos here. I'll add some apps. I'll add this 100 Days of School app. And you'll see here I've got one app now. And then I finish. Now, what this means is that instead of going up to get to your phone where you'll have a lock implemented, the kid can go to the right and they'll get their kids' corner space, and they can actually customize this and play just the apps or games that you've got set up there.
Right. So you mentioned that this is a safe zone for your kid, but it's also a safety thing for you. Because you know, if your kid's playing with your phone, they could delete some important messages,
right? Or lock out your exchange account.
Exactly. That actually for my friends who have kids, that's a very common complaint. You know, the kids just like keep hammering on the locks on the pin unlock.
Right.
They get the lock wrong n number of times, and then their phone wipes. So, and actually, the interesting thing with Kids Corner is my all-time favorite demo was actually when Joe Belfiore announced this. Mm-hmm. He actually had his kids up on stage. You guys should check this out. It's really, really cool.
We'll have a link to that on the on the page here for sure.
Absolutely.
DataSense was another one we were going to talk about here. This is actually a new feature that an operator can implement. It won't necessarily be on all phones. I think I'm not sure if any of them have announced yet that they'll be supporting it. I know at least one will be supporting it. Mm-hmm. But what this allows you to do is create alerts that will tell you when you're about to hit a certain data limit, and you set that up here, and you can have a live tile for it too. And it'll show you what you're using your downloads for too, so that you can know how data heavy an application is or a behavior is. And it's a really great way of letting you, the user, maintain control over what you're doing on the phone.
Yeah, this is a real thing. Actually, if you follow, again, Joe Belfiore on Twitter, he has this ongoing thing where members of his family ask him, like, can I use this app? Is it going to make me run over data? Mm-hmm. Can I use this app? Is it going to make me run over data? Well, now you don't need to know Joe Belfiore to get that answer. You can just launch DataSense, and it'll tell you which app has consumed what amount of data.
And you can set up a limit here by saying, you know, I want a monthly limit on the third of the month. I have 4 gigs, for example. I can say 4 gigabytes. And there you go. And then now it's showing me that how much I have and when it will reset on the screen. So very cool, snappy way to know when you're about to hit your limit.
Yeah, and
there's an API here too, right?
Absolutely. So like Larry said earlier, there's all these cool OS features, but they really light up when you take benefit of them in your applications. So there's an API which allows you to query the state of DataSense in your application. So for example, you could know if the user is already over their data limit or if they're approaching their data limit, and you could be smart about that.
You could always check and see if Wi-Fi was available.
Absolutely.
But now
Absolutely.
What you can do, because you have access to DataSense, you could actually do it in a more intelligent way and say, hey, by the way, you're about to hit your data limit. Go to Wi-Fi before we conduct this data-heavy activity.
Absolutely. You don't want to be the app that the user blames for going over the data limit, right? So you want to be smart about this. And if there's activity that your app is perhaps doing in the background, maybe some image-heavy things that your app is doing, you may want to dial that down as the user is approaching their data limit, just to be a good customer.
So a couple other things I'll mention before we leave the phone here. We wanted to actually show the Bing search, because Bing search has been enhanced and expanded. Here it comes in with the daily Bing image. You'll notice now that there's something here on the right-hand side of the screen. And actually what we're doing here is Bing has expanded what they provide in the context of their application to give you quick access to local deals, which plug into our new wallet hub, which we'll link to a presentation on that. There was a presentation at Build. We'll talk about Build in a second, too. We also have movies, and then you can quickly get into the list of the movies, or headlines, and quickly get into a list of the headlines, and videos as well, and events. Mm-hmm. So this is a very quick and easy way to get into all sorts of relevant information that you might care to see more about. There was some similar functionality in Bing before, but you had to actually enter in particular search terms. So what they've done is they've made it easier to actually quickly get at the stuff you really might want to find out about, like a movie. I want to go see this movie. When is it playing? And then even here, they've got some buy tickets, which I think actually are links into the MSN Movies app.
Yes.
And this actually points out a new feature that we have in the phone.
Yeah, so we have this, the ability for apps to associate themselves with particular URI schemes or file extensions.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that your app does movie tickets or something like that. And then you could actually have, my app :// registered as a protocol handler for your application.
So you can register your own protocol handler. What happens if you don't have the app installed?
We actually pop up a marketplace search dialog, and your app will actually get installed.
I think that's what happens here. It's actually going to that.
Use an app if you go to Drive.
Oh, it went to the theater.
Yeah, if you do Drive. Drive is an
actually. Buy tickets is where I have to click. Yeah. And you'll see what buy tickets does is it actually launches the marketplace panel. Yep. For MSN Movies, because I don't have it installed.
Exactly. And we even disambiguate, for example, if there's two applications registered from the same protocol handler, we allow the user to choose at that point.
The other thing you were showing, I think, when I clicked on the theater, was that here it's got Drive, use an app, and that actually is going to launch here Nokia Drive, since that's installed on the phone.
Yep, absolutely.
Using, again, a protocol handler. So yep, I haven't.
And this is really great. You can do voice to find places. You can use any of the different hooks around the OS. Maybe somebody texted you an address. You launch the map dialog. And just from there, once you're drilled down into a particular location, it's just one tap to launch an application and start driving.
So people can get a better experience than if Absolutely. You actually are going to just an online link, because that was all you could do before.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the other part of it, of course, is file extensions. So if you have a special file extension that's associated with your application, you can register to have your application launch. I mean, the classical example is PDF readers, but anything else that you want to do.
And we also make it possible for you to launch Word documents, I believe, right? And save Word documents as well.
Absolutely.
And this requires you to actually leverage this new shared space that we create on the device, because obviously you couldn't have it in your protected isolated storage.
Yeah. So it's just allows you to integrate better with the Office Hub. And all the work that the user is doing with their Office documents.
Right. Again, so this release is really about opening up a wildly larger set of items with which you can integrate with the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to mention very quickly the Build event. So the Build event here was launched here just a couple weeks ago, and here on the campus at Redmond. And we had 18. We were in the keynote, which was really cool. Kevin Gallo announced the product, but we also, we'll have a link to that here, we also had 18 deep dive sessions.
Absolutely.
So where a lot of our product, our program managers actually went in depth, these are the guys who actually designed a lot of these features. And here's a page that we'll link to that's showing you all the sessions that we had. You'll notice here we had a session on the application model, which is a good, talks about all the glue between our applications, like app to app and some of those things. But then also native C++, because obviously that was a huge new feature here, was the ability to create applications using C++, games and applications.
Yeah, exactly. There's, you know, that's been a very, very big demand from developers, and you finally have it. So the biggest reason people want to use this probably is for native games. You can have kind of code sharing C++ across your other platforms if you have a gaming engine that's written that way. All the fast, fluid, high-performance code that you can expect. But then also, if you just have a regular application, a Silverlight application or so forth, you can write it in quote-unquote hybrid mode. You can actually share a WinRT component.
Right, exactly. So if you have some set of common class libraries that you've written natively in native C++, or if there's some set of functionality you want to share across a set of applications, and you can imagine things at the data access layer or anything that's sort of just business logic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You could actually encapsulate that into a C++ Windows runtime component.
Exactly.
And then leverage it in all those different applications.
Yeah, and you know, if you have any sort of math or calculations that you're doing which need to be very, very fast, if you're a financial application, for example, you're doing some sort of rendering of bitmaps on the screen. I mean, those are all great examples of when to use native code.
The other big thing about native code, though, is enabling middleware. Because a number of our partners have announced, Unity and Havok, that they're going to be delivering their tool and middleware engines for Windows Phone. This is huge, because anyone building games on those platforms today for other platforms will be able to very easily retarget and recompile for Windows Phone. So we're very excited. We think this will quickly accelerate the rate at which people can build games for Windows Phone.
Absolutely, and you know, and these are fantastic looking games. I mean, again, you guys have to go check out the build announcements on this. I mean, very, very cool demos.
And you can still build XNA games too, though.
Oh yeah.
If you're an XNA fan, we still have support for XNA. What else did we show? We showed a little bit about how to leverage code across Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8, because we do have this shared core. There are new opportunities for leveraging a lot of your work across both Windows and Windows Phone. We could talk about that a lot, and probably we'll do some more of that here on this show. But there's a session here for you to start talking about that. What's new in XAML for Windows Phone 8? XAML application development. Mm-hmm. A lot of the controls are now in ROM. A lot of these special controls, which will make them much faster.
And
right?
Shout out to list scrolling again. I mean, we know that's been a problem for people, the performance of list scrolling and et cetera.
Oh,
and
big guidance point here.
Yeah.
Long list selector is now your friend.
Yeah.
Don't use list box anymore in your new applications. Use long list selector, because a ton of work went into, first of all, long list selector is a superset of functionality of list box.
Oh, yeah.
Secondly, a ton of work has gone into optimizing long list selector. List box is actually not preferred anymore and doesn't show up by default in the toolbox for new Windows Phone 8 projects because of that fact.
Yeah, and if you're using it, though, of course, it'll still continue to work. But if you're writing new code or if you have the opportunity to refactor your existing code, we really urge you to move to long list selector. It's going to be much more fast and performant.
So let's just continue on and talk a little bit about some of these things we showed. This was sort of a best practices talk that Stefan Wick did. He's a test lead. Mm-hmm. He does a fantastic talk around performance optimization, unit testing.
Yep.
We now have full unit testing support updated for Windows Phone 8 alongside the Windows Phone Toolkit. So the former Silverlight Toolkit's been renamed the Windows Phone Toolkit. There's a lot of additional great, cool functionality in there that you want to. Some of it's experimental. But you can go download that. It's a way that our team is able to, in an agile way, deliver more things out of band. The unit test framework is there, too. So he talks about that. Then we had a session on maps, location, and background execution. We now support, we have a new map control that leverages the Nokia map service.
Yeah.
And so we think that this is a much more compelling, expansive set of data that's more world ready. We've got maps, and it also supports new things like 3D.
Oh, yeah.
You can leverage that in your map control.
I think there's really two things which I love about the new maps. I mean, first is what you said, you know, the global reach. I travel a lot, and, you know, it's just fantastic to have great coverage wherever you go. I mean, it's world class. And then the second thing is the offline capability mm-hmm. of it.
That's right.
And we
didn't
only
show that.
Exactly.
Single store for offline maps.
Absolutely. So let's say that your app launches and you're showing a map view, and the user has been using maps elsewhere, maybe in the phone's native maps experience. There's a shared cache. So you won't get those, you know, the blank screen and loading tiles, et cetera, by default. It'll just load.
Well, quite frequently, I know when I go to Europe or Asia, I don't want to pay for massive data
Absolutely.
Rates. But I still want to be able to use my map experience to get mm-hmm. around. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think is so fantastic about offline maps, is that you previously download on Wi-Fi a set of maps, and the application works perfect without even any data turned on.
Absolutely.
So mapping, we also added continuous background execution,
yeah,
which means that mapping applications, turn-by-turn navigation, can continue to operate even if you get a phone call or mm-hmm. if you happen to go web browsing or something while you're in the middle of a run.
Mm-hmm.
Another fantastic feature. Now, something related to this that we didn't mention was fast resume.
Yeah, let's show that.
Much, much asked for feature. Fast resume, and we'll show this here. Now, you know, we had sort of a philosophical take on applications in Windows Phone, back in Windows Phone 7, which was that if a user launches an app a second time after having gone back to the start menu, we launched a new instance. We did not attach to that existing instance. And what we allow you to do now with a simple manifest entry is say, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. And what that means now is that an application, here we've got the Facebook app has leveraged this in their latest version. I can go into my Facebook app, I can scroll around, and say I go to a different pane or I go to see a picture. The really cool thing here, this will show this functionality. If I go to start and say I go into the store or something else, just doing something else, looking at podcasts, and I say click start again, and then if I go back to Facebook, you'll see it takes me right back instantaneously to that page where I was, because they've leveraged that new manifest entry that allows them to use what we call fast resume. And any developer can do this now. So it won't always work, because after a period of time, a period of memory consumption, applications do get, as we know, they get tombstoned. You can't say in your application, depend on this functionality to operate this way. But it is a nice feature that we know a lot of people have wanted, and we're really excited to be able to deliver it. We also did a session on Lens apps. We did a session on Tiles and Lock. And so, you know, those features there, you can access those. There's a lot of information about how to do that here. And most of this sample code is going to be available online mm-hmm. In the next couple weeks. It's taking us a little while to get them public ready. But we are intending the tile session. We do have an excellent sample that we know we'll have up in a short period of time. Beyond that, I think there were a couple other things I just wanted to mention. One was app compat. So there's a great page here about application compatibility. Windows Phone 8 was designed to run all existing Windows Phone applications, but it's important to note that there doesn't mean there isn't some optimization you could do, because we have changed every major subsystem in swapping out Windows CE for the shared Windows Core. We moved to a different version of the .NET framework
Absolutely.
That forked from Compact Framework many years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not without any potential for risk. Sometimes order of executions changed. We moved from IE9 to IE10, so if you use the web browser control, there may be some concerns there.
And especially if you've been using Reflection to poke in and use some undocumented APIs, that's where, of course, you know, the chances are that, you know, app compat would be at risk.
The thing for you to know is, though, that once you've installed the Windows Phone 8 SDK, you can open up a 7 project as a 7 project, and then test it in the Windows Phone 8 emulators.
Absolutely. I think, and that's the case
without converting it.
Exactly. So that's the case where, let's say you have a Windows Phone 7 app in Marketplace today, and all these people who are buying Windows 8 devices today, they can download your app, and they run it as a Windows Phone 7 app. So that's the experience that we urge you to test. And if you find any issues in your 7 app running on an 8 device, we really suggest that that's the first round of things that you fix.
First thing you do, download the new tools, mm-hmm. test it out in the new emulators and see what happens. There's a lot of new diagnostic utilities in the new tools too. We've enhanced and expanded sort of the performance analysis tools a bit. So there's some work some things you could do there in order to get an idea about what's happening. You know, we'll have links to this page as we go, but then there were a couple other things. We've got this page here on what's new. We'll have a link to that, of course. And the other thing I wanted to point out was mobile services for Windows Phone 8, which were launched at Build as well. There's a session on that. We'll link to that, too. But this makes, you know, by far, many of the most compelling mobile applications are ones that leverage the Internet somehow, I found. I mean, I don't know if you agree with me on that.
No, I completely agree with you on that. And Windows Azure Mobile Services really make it easy for you to have an application experience that spans the device and the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So things like doing push notifications is very, very easy, very,
or
very
setting
straightforward.
Data. Exactly. Saving data to the
saving
cloud.
Saving data to the cloud so you can roam state.
Absolutely.
You know, signing in via things like Facebook, other identity providers. It just becomes a snap. So we, if you're writing an application that needs to do any of those things, we'd really, really urge you to look at Windows Azure Mobile Services.
So finally, where do I go for all this? We know we'll have all these links, obviously. But the key one to remember is dev.windowsphone.com, which is our new Windows Phone portal. And that's where you actually can go and get the design information here was really expanded in this release.
Yeah.
But there's also all of our documentation under develop. So all the documentation appears directly in line here. And if I want to see something about developing apps, I just click there. And this is actually the MSDN documentation in the context of our portal. So we just wanted to point that out. The other really key thing here, we know people want samples. So our samples are all linked here as well. This is the MSDN code gallery in the context of our portal scoped to items tagged for Windows Phone. So you can really quickly get to the code samples that you need in order to build the apps that you want to build.
And just keep an eye when you search for samples. Samples will be tagged for Windows Phone 7 or Windows Phone 8. So you can appropriately figure out which sample you want. And the other thing I wanted to call out was the Windows Phone developer blog.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to show people where that is.
You bet.
That's something you want to put in your feed reader and stay tuned. We have lots of great content coming in the near future. There's already tons of great content on there. So follow us and it'll be a great ride.
We'll have a link to that here as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for Windows Inside Windows Phone today. We hope you found this information as exciting and interesting as we do. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.